Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, today we're going to focus in on our epistle lesson. We're towards the end of the church year here, and so these lessons focus on the second coming of Jesus. And today we're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Dear friends, there's a big difference between being on a search and rescue team and being on a search and recovery team. You know, if you're on a search and rescue team, you're probably living with a lot of hope because the person that's lost, you think that they're alive and will be found. You think how this works. A person's lost at sea and the waves are high and they've been gone. Well, you think you can find them on a search and rescue. A person's lost in the desert and the terrain is very difficult and the weather conditions are rough. It's difficult, but a search and rescue, you're pretty sure that they're alive. You see, if you're on the search and rescue team, there's a high probability as you go out that you'll find the person. That's why it's called a rescue. Makes sense? Now, the feelings are totally different if you're going out on a search and recovery mission. You go out with a sense of fear. You go out with a sense of things aren't going to turn out so great. You go out thinking that the person probably hasn't made it. About a year ago or so, I remember a story. I could be off on the timing of this. It was reported that a terrible tragedy happened off the Oregon coast. A parent and a child, they were swept out to sea with a sneaker wave. And when that happened, you see, that search and rescue team went to work. One day passed, 2 days passed, still no sign. Then it moved to 3 and 4 and 5 days. And then the announcement came. The announcement came that the search and rescue team would no longer, it wouldn't be called that, but they would call it a search and recovery team. Hope kind of went down. Fear kind of increased. And family members, as well as the team that was on the search and recovery team, they started talking about the parent and child in the past tense. Well, why am I talking about this to start out my message? Search and rescue, search and recovery. See, I believe the Apostle Paul, as he's writing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, his encouragement for these Christians is to operate as if they're on a search and rescue team, to live with hope for those around them. Why do I say that? You see, the background of this text is very important. See, the people living around these Christians in this town of Thessalonica, those people living around them had treated these Christians very poorly. No one would have blamed the Christians Paul was writing to for writing off the people in the community, in the town around them, thinking that they were just gone for good, as if they didn't exist. You got to pick this up from another part of the Bible. It's found in Acts chapter 17. Look it up. Check it out. It's at this point that we find out that Paul went to visit this town and spent about 3 weeks, the text says. He went around making friends, connecting with people, and he connected with a certain person whose name was Jason. He went into Jason's home and they had more conversations about what it meant to be a Christ follower. And you see, as this was going on, there was a small group of people that were upset about Paul coming to their town and meeting in Jason's house. We really don't know all the details, but what we know is that small upset group of people grew in number. They became like a mob. They then went to the city councilors and told them about Jason and Paul. And what Acts tells us is a mob came upon Jason's house. This Christian was then dragged into the courts. He was arrested. Now you can see how the Christians that Paul was writing to would probably not really want to rescue the people around them. They had been mistreated very badly by the community in Thessalonica. Maybe you can relate to that. Someone has mistreated you. Someone has harmed you. And I get it. You don't want to rescue that person. You want to write them off and act like they don't exist. Paul's writing this letter to encourage these Christians in Thessalonica to be a part of a search and rescue mission because, you see, they thought that the end was coming right around the corner when Jesus would come again. Here was the thought with these Christians. They thought that Jesus was coming probably within a week, well, maybe 2 weeks, at the most, maybe 2 years down the road. Paul commends these Christians for thinking this way, having thoughts that Jesus would imminently come. But you see, there was also dangers with this kind of thinking. Paul names it. In chapter 4, he talks about how some of the Christians had become idle, and they stopped working. They stopped connecting with people. They started to isolate themselves. You also get the picture here that because these Christians thought the end of the world was coming, why even try to make a difference in the world at all? What difference does it make? If Jesus forgives my sins and he's coming, I'll say 6 months down the road, why even try to connect with the people in the community? We're going to be saved. He'll forgive us our sins. Why not do whatever we want? Maybe you can relate to that in the days we're living. There's a temptation to live very fatalistically right now. Times are tough. Times are challenging. The thought can come that maybe Jesus is coming in the next week. And then the thought comes, well, if that's happening, I might as well just live for myself. What difference does it make if I shine brightly into the hearts and lives of other people? Perhaps you're thinking that today. Paul's encouragement, again, I believe, is for Christians not so much to live like they're on a search and recovery mission with people that they just want to write off and act like they're not going to be brought into God's love. But Paul's encouragement in First Thessalonians chapter 5 is that we live as if a rescue is possible, that we can make a difference. And that encouragement comes in verse 5 when Paul says this: we are children of the light. We are children of the day, not of the darkness, and not of the night. Paul's encouragement was that there was many people who could be rescued in Thessalonica. And my friends, today, I want to lay it upon your hearts. There are many people in your community that need to be rescued. Shine brightly. Administrators of a group of hospitals determined that loneliness has become an epidemic. This study came out just a couple of years ago. Parkland Hospital down in Texas did a survey to find out how they could unclog their emergency room visits. They were skyrocketing, and they didn't really know what was the cause. And their first thing to do in their survey was to find out why people were visiting the emergency room. Now, this is crazy. What they found out was this. They determined that 80 people had visited four hospitals 5,100 times in the emergency room over a 12-month period. Now, let me repeat that. 80 of the same people visited the hospitals over 5,100 times in a 12-month period, costing those hospitals over $14 million. So they highlighted who was coming and how often they were coming. Then their next the next part of the survey was to determine why they were coming so often. They found out the number one cause was loneliness. Loneliness. To be touched by a nurse. To have vitals checked by a doctor, to hear someone talk to them. Now, ultimately, it was discovered that poverty and food shortage also played a factor into those visits. But again, the number one cause was loneliness. My friends, you are on a search and rescue mission. There are many people that need to be drawn in closer to God. Well, Pastor, how can I do that in these days? It's too challenging. It's too dark. There's too many worries out there in the world. What can I do? Nobody would have blamed a man named Vedran Smilyevich for just choosing to live in darkness and just giving up with life. This man, Vedran, was a cellist who was living in the city of Sarajevo in the early 1990s when the city was being laid siege. People were living in isolation with no idea of what was going to come the next day. It was terrible. And on one particular day, early in the siege in 1993, a horrible tragedy happened right outside where Vedran lived. 22 people who were out to just pick up food in the marketplace were gunned down for no good reason, and the marketplace was brought down to basically shambles. The brick, one on top of the other, couldn't even recognize the place. And the entire city, and Vedran himself, moved into a position of great horror and grief over this situation, and also with very little hope moving on into the future. What would they do in light of this tragedy? Should they run away from the city? Should they just lock up their rooms and stay inside their homes? Should they live in isolation? Vedran did the one thing that he could. He took his cello, walked it down with the threat of more gunfire and mortar coming his way, walked it down to that exact place where those who were killed were, and he played his cello for a time period for 22 days. Vedran gave beauty and light in a most terrible place and in a most horrific situation. He could have lived in hopelessness. He could have lived in darkness. But you see, this man lived in light and beauty in dark times. My friends, we were made to be children of the light. We were made to be children of the day. God desires us to be on a rescue mission, a search and rescue mission for those who are around us, to shine beauty into the lives of other people. And there's one reason why you can do it. You see, you were once rescued. You were once brought closer to the light. As broken sinners, you were once very distanced and blocked off from God, as far as the east is from the west, the scriptures tell us. You were far off, lost. One day passed, 10 days passed, 90 days passed, 10 years passed, 50 years passed, perhaps. Anybody else would have really abandoned a search and rescue mission. Anyone else would have switched it to a search and recovery mission for you. But God didn't do that. God pursued you. And how do you know that? The Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is a reminder that God always pursues and rescues us no matter where we are, no matter what our situation is, no matter how long time passes. You have been rescued. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to live in darkness. It's not a time to live in fear. It's a time to go out and rescue and shine a bright light, for you are children of the day. You are children of the light. Notice how Paul ends this with this encouragement in verse 8. Paul's saying here that the darkness cannot penetrate you. You have defensive mechanisms in place. Do you hear him there in that text? Verse 8 says that you have the breastplate of faith and hope. You also have the helmet of salvation. Darkness cannot penetrate you. That means that you can go on offense. and shine your light. Think of Vedran, the cellist of Sarajevo. What is the beauty that you can bring to your neighborhood, to your community, to your school, to your family, maybe over Thanksgiving? Every person tuning in to this message has a unique gift and a talent given to you by God. An opportunity to bring beauty into other people's lives. Maybe it's singing a song. That's it. A hymn. Maybe it's dancing to the Lord, like David did. Maybe it's, I don't know, drawing a piece of artwork. Or for our manly men, maybe it's fixing a car and getting dirty for someone. Or maybe it's doing home repair for someone in your neighborhood. That's a way to bring beauty into the world, using the gifts that God has given you. Think of the one talent you have and how you can shine it brightly into others' lives. You can. You're children of the light. You are children of the day. Amen.